Sophie Carmen Eckhart Grammaté, the 20th century composer, and for good reason here this afternoon. A new production at Theatre Passe-Muraille is putting a spotlight on the talent, and you're with the New Classical FM, our look at arts and culture. This Saturday, Theatre Passe-Muraille will present the Toronto premiere of the Delinquent Theatre production, Nevertheless, on stage through the 16th at the Main Space. The piece was created by Christine Quintana and Molly McKinnon and follows the relationship between innovative 20th century composer Sophie Carmen Eckhart Grammaté and expressionist painter Walter Grammaté. Theirs was an artist's existence, adventure, poverty, creative strife and yearning, tragedy, and they were together for a decade. All that emotion can be experienced in Eckhart Grammaté's 10 rarely performed violin solos. Nevertheless blends classical violin performances with movement and text and has won or been nominated for numerous awards already. Tickets at passemuraille.ca. Joining us in studio, Christine Quintana and Molly McKinnon. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Great to be with you. You just flew into town, right? Is that the idea?
We did. Still jet lagged, but we're so excited it kind of makes up for the 3 hours.
Okay, so that begs the question, where's home?
Yeah, we're both based in Vancouver.
Okay.
East Vancouver specifically. We're very proud to be in that community.
So Vancouver's always been home or?
I grew up in the Kootenays in Nelson.
All right.
Which is very very arty.
I know Nelson well. I have maybe you know my friends Sky and Harmony Ziegler who live
there. I definitely know Skies and Harmonies in that area. But
oh my gosh, I never get to say their names on the radio. So, but yes, that pretty much says Nelson, doesn't it? And Vancouver?
I was born in Los Angeles, actually.
Okay, right.
East
on.
LA, yeah.
Okay.
But I grew up in East Van, so definitely an East Van girl.
And how is the arts scene feeling in that neck of the woods?
It's incredible. I mean, East Van is kind of like the artist bohemian hub. I think actually it has the highest number of artists per capita in Canada.
Right.
And you really feel that in our neighborhood. There's always people at work. You hear people practicing music. You see things in parks and you really feel the energy. So it's a pretty special place to live and make work.
Incredible amount of beer breweries. Am I right about that?
They call it Yeast Van.
Yeah, Yeast
Van. Yeah, there's a ton. I actually run a concert series in microbreweries called Concerts on Tap. And we pair a flight of beer with 4 pieces of classical music.
I have done maybe just the beer part of what you're talking about, but that is a great part of Vancouver and a lot of creative people.
Yeah, it's very vibrant, and I feel like since the pandemic, the community's really come back with a vengeance. So feels good.
We're awfully glad to have you here in Toronto. So welcome to you both. Give us a better sense of the Grammatés. Who were they?
Yeah, I mean, Sophie Carmen Eckhart Grammaté, who was known as Sonia, that's how we call her in the show, was an incredible woman. She kind of came from poverty. Her mom was sort of very bohemian. Her early life was very troubled. She grew up in sort of like a boarding house environment in England, then reunited with her mom and her sister, lived in Paris, then in Berlin.
Lived a lot of places.
And, you know, part of the reason that we came to connect with her is that later in her life, she immigrated to Canada in Winnipeg, where she has quite a legacy. But she was a fierce artist, known to be good enough to be a soloist as a violinist or a pianist, but her passion was composing. But she happened to be doing that at a time where women were really kind of locked out of the academy and out of the elite in terms of composers, and she just wouldn't take no for an answer, which we found really, really inspiring.
And her husband?
Walter Grammaté. Yeah, he was an expressionist painter. He was kind of from a little more of a bourgeois upbringing than her. And when they fell in love, he had to work pretty hard to get her to agree to marry him because she wanted to keep her freedom, keep her independence. But he promised to support her and give her access to time to compose and time to build her career. And she fell madly in love. And so that's how their adventure began.
Right. Why were you compelled to tell this story?
Yeah, I first learned about her caprices for solo violin when I was in university. So I was doing my undergrad at the University of British Columbia. And my teacher, Jasper Wood, is one of the few violinists who have recorded all 10 of her caprices. So he would introduce his students to her works. And I learned a couple of them and performed them when I was in university.
What did you make of them when you first heard them compared to some of the, you know, more famous violin?
Yeah, there's like the Izai solo.
Sure.
Yeah, and they're kind of similar in that regard in terms of like they're very flashy, you know, solo works for violin. But I was immediately like emotionally really struck by them.
So you're hearing those and you're hearing that individuality, you're hearing that person come through. And does that make you chase this story go deeper into the history? I mean, where does that hit you musically to take you down this rabbit hole?
Yeah, so I spent quite a bit of time with a couple of them and performed them in university and then left them for a couple years.
Right.
But they kind of stayed in my brain.
Sure.
And then me and Christine met each other through the theater community in Vancouver. We did a show together that Christine and our friend Michelle had written, a musical.
Were you in a similar role of performance there?
I was for hire.
Okay.
it was an office comedy musical called Stationary.
Yeah, it's a folk rock musical.
Very different.
Much easier to play than...
Yes, yeah. So I was the band.
Things
in the
have
band.
Changed. Wow.
Yeah, Christine asked me to play for, I think, a salon that they were doing for a fundraiser for something else. And she asked if I had anything that I could play. And I immediately thought of one of these caprices, number one.
Did you know much about the backstory at that point? Right.
I didn't know anything about her.
Right.
Other than that I loved these pieces of music for whatever reason.
That's a really honest way to get to it, too, where it's just about the music, but it just so happens there's an incredible backstory, too.
Yeah. And I think the anchor for us is Caprice number 7, which is The Departing Train, which is kind of the big fulcrum of the piece that we created. And it's also like a 9-minute, I mean, I'm not the musical person, so I'm going to say shredding for 9 minutes.
Right.
The most astonishing,
Paganini
visceral,
style, sure.
Unbelievable piece that Molly plays with absolutely stunning emotion. And that was really kind of when we were like, oh, there's a story here. There's theatricality here.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just joining us, Christine Quintana and Molly McKinnon are here. The creators of the piece, Never the Last, begins on Saturday, runs through the 16th, passmarai.ca for tickets. So the question then becomes, how do you stage this? You've witnessed the music, you've performed the music, you're starting to find the backstory, you've sort of got this base point, and how do you now put it on a stage?
Yeah, so what we did was we took these 10 pieces as sort of the backbone of the work that we created, and you really see her style grow. So the first ones are kind of more traditionally structured. You can see, you know, evidence of her training, and they're a little more conventional, you might say. And then as they progress through the 10 years, you see her come into her own as an artist. And so the theatrical form, I wrote the script, kind of starts with a very text-based, very literal dialogue, and then becomes poetic, and then sort of lifts off just into these big movement pieces where the music really takes over.
Yeah, we wanted to figure out a way to have the music be a character in the piece more than just underscoring or supporting text. We wanted to find a way where the music at a certain point would morph into kind of the main character of the show.
What a great idea. Tell us about who's going to be on stage and how it's going to kind of look.
So we both perform. So I play Sophie Carmen Eckhart-Gramatte.
Yeah.
And our wonderful colleague Amitai Marmorstein plays Walter Gramatte.
And I play the violin.
So you should.
And she's on stage the whole time, and you will get to hear excerpts or the entirety of all 10 caprices.
Wow.
Which is pretty remarkable. And we really wanted something that would feel satisfying for a theater goer to get a taste of what classical music performance feels like, and that a classical music person might come and really enjoy a night at the theater that centers music in that way.
Yeah, and just nice to hear these performed in some format anyway. And Delinquent Theater, this is your theater company, is that right?
Yes, I started it with my colleague Laura McLean, who directed the production.
Right.
And we've been in operation for about 12 years. It means a lot that this is one of our signature shows, because we started it as young women in the theater when there were very few female directors, playwrights being programmed, being hired, and that we wanted to make a space for us where we could make work on our own terms.
Just, you have to make your own stuff sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And so to be here in Toronto, you know, over 10 years later with a production team that is almost all women, especially in roles like sound design, lighting design, technical direction, where women still are underrepresented and face a lot of misogyny in the workplace, it means a lot to be holding our space.
How's the space feeling at Passmarai, by the way? I guess you're just getting a look at it.
Yeah, we just got a look at it this morning. It's amazing. It's kind of how we always envisioned the space for the show. We wanted something that feels intimate, feels like the audience is really close to you.
I've enjoyed seeing
anything there over the years. It's just kind of an interesting space. So
it's got a ton of character.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, it used to be an old bakery.
kind of feels like that. I've seen operas in there. I've seen all kinds of things.
Yeah, but, and that's like, you know, so much of this is about the resilience of artists and the ability to make the most of your circumstances no matter what. And TPM has that kind of scrappy energy that we came to Toronto with. So it's great to be there.
Christine Quintana, Molly McKinnon, great to be with you. Thank you for taking us through this ahead of the show.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks so much.
Performances of Never the Last running Wednesday through Saturday, 7:30 p.m. with 2 p.m. matinees, April 9th and 15th. Tickets pay what you can afford at three price points, $10, $30, and $60, and available now online at Pass Marai. Let's listen to more music that you might hear during this production. You're with The Oasis here on the New Classical FM.